Well, it's just good to be out to God's house. I want you to turn. I could almost preach this whole chapter tonight, but I'm not. Turn to 2 Kings chapter number 2. And I'm going to read the first 12 verses. Then I'm going to have one thought, Chad, one thought that I'm going to magnify in this verse. I believe what I magnify tonight, what I'm be magnifying on tonight, we've almost give up on. And I'll get there in a moment. We've almost give up on what I'll be magnifying tonight. So stay with me. Let's a familiar passage of scripture. 2 Kings chapter 2. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. I'll tell you what that means in West Virginia in a moment. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they went, and they too went on. And 50 of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither. So they went two over on dry ground. Now notice these next two verses. And it came to pass when they were going over that Elijah said unto Elisha. Now I want to tell you what. This is some question. Some question, Sean. Just picture God saying to you, ask me anything. Elisha said, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. Amen? Is that the question? And Elisha said, what a statement. I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Now, I want you to notice the next phrase. Jeremy, this is awesome. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Amen? Thou hast asked a hard thing. I believe in this generation that we're living, we've almost given up on the hard things, as if our God is not able. Somebody help me preach. We've given up on hard people. And I want you to know there are a lot of hard-hearted, wicked people in this world. But there's none of them that God can't save. I remember my early days of my ministry, and I've always saw God do great things in my life. That's not a boast. He's just been faithful. And by the way, he'll be faithful if you're faithful. I remember Bill Lamont, you're back there, so you'll remember some of this. I can't remember it all because I'm getting old. But I remember one boy. Remember a guy we used to work with, Bill, named Stanley? Not at me. You remember him, don't you? You remember he hit his wife. You remember? We knew that. Remember when we went up the house and we saw that hole in the ceiling? You're nodding your head. You remember better than I do. I'm talking about one of the hardest core. I mean hardcore. You ever met hardcore? He was hardcore. He got in my state road truck, and here's the first thing he looked at me when he walked in the state road truck. Here's what he said, Lois. He said, I committed an unpardonable sin. I heard your preacher. Just leave me alone. That's what he said. First words in the van. You said, what'd you say to him? I said, well, I know what I'm going to do with you then, buddy. I did. I said, I looked him right in the eye. I said, I know what I'm going to do with you. And he got silent in here. And he looked at me and he said, what? I said, I'm just going to pray for you. And tonight's Wednesday night. And I'm going to Leatherwood Baptist Church, my first church I ever pastored, that little church out there as far as you can stick a butcher knife out in Elkview. You went there. You know where I'm talking about. I said, I'm going to get that little group of people praying for you, and I'm not going to say nothing to you. If you want to go to hell, you go ahead and go to hell. But we're going to pray for you. And we did. That night, we had a united prayer. We didn't, churches don't do this much. We had everybody up praying at the same time. Somebody told me, said, that's the craziest thing I've ever seen, is having people on the altar and all of them praying at the same time. They don't even know if God could hear. My God, if he could hear the whole world, he can hear us. I think every once in a while, it wouldn't be good for all of us to get on our knees as a corporate unit and just pray the power down. I never forget. I never forget that he came to that church and sales witness to him. I asked him to go to revival with us. And I'm gonna tell this story. I'm gonna get this story out. I asked him to go to revival with us. And here's what he said. He said, "Well, I'll go, but you don't have people out there that pull you to the altar, do you?" I said, "Uh-uh. Nobody in my church pulls anybody to the altar. But the only thing bad about that was we did have some neighbors that were Free Will Baptists up in the other community came to revival. And there's a lady there. I'll never forget. You remember, I don't know if you remember her, Bill. Aunt Corey Atkins. You remember? You nod your head. She was a Free Will Baptist, and they believed in pulling them to the altar. And you know what she seen? She looked in the church and saw, you know, it wasn't hard to see he was a sinner. And she went to him, I want to tell you what, she crawled up one side of him saying, you're going to hell, and went down the other side of him, and he went to hell, and I followed him on the way home. He didn't go but 15 miles an hour. He said, you lied to me. I said, she's not a member of my church, so I'm innocent. But he came back a couple more times, and you know what happened? The Holy Ghost of God got a hold of him. He got saved by the grace of God. His wife came in behind him. Well, I still had some shadows of a black eye where he hit her, and got saved by the grace of God. And I want you to know, God's not done giving us hard things. Amen. I could go on in this ministry. I remember the Arlie Rigsby's. He was 6'7". Lynn got up there to see him. I wonder what she said to him. It's hard to tell. But I remember when he got saved, he went 19 weeks under conviction, holding on to the pew for 19 weeks. Finally, the high sheriff of heaven said, what I'm saying is, I still got a God that can give hard things. Amen. You might be here and you have a hard problem. I know Sister Kathy back on the back row, she got a heart problem. Anthony's family got a heart problem. But I want y'all to know tonight, there ain't nothing too hard for God. I got a God that still can give us hard things. But listen to me tonight. I'm getting ready to preach. I won't be long. But listen to me tonight. God is not... Listen to me, if you're going to get hard things tonight, and there's people in this room, I know there's people in this room got some hard situations. I know you got some hard problems. Maybe a wayward child, maybe a family member sick, maybe you yourself are sick. But I want you to know I got a God that a major in hard things, but he is not a respecter, listen, of persons. He is a respecter of principles. Because I want you to know, we'll read the last part of this story, and Elisha will get hard things. But before he got the hard things, there was five principles he had in his life. Amen. Can I preach that to you tonight? We've given up on it. By the way, if you're here tonight and you're lost, you're not too hard to get saved. There's a loving God who sent his son to die on Calvary's cross. That is, tonight, wanting you to be saved. And you may say, I'm up in years. It's too late for me. I want to tell you, you still breathing air. You still have a conscience. The Holy Ghost still working with you. Hey, it's not too late. Am I preaching? What's this? If you got your pen, and Chad, I didn't even alliterate this. I know some of my preacher brother that's hung up on alliteration all the time would kill me. But I didn't even alliterate this sermon. But I'm going to give it to you. If you're going to get hard things, let me ask you, how many people in this room, there's something in your life or somebody in another person's life that affects your life that's going through something hard right now, and you'd like to have prayer? Raise your hand. Come on now. Sure. We all have it. So how do we get hard things? Number one, you got to be faithful. Somebody say amen. See, God called him in 1 Kings chapter 19 and summons him. Or Elijah called him and summons him. He surrendered to Elijah. Amen? Yes, he was subordinate to Elisha. Elisha was one of them separated guys, and he separated himself in like Elijah. Right. Amen? And now listen, let's see how many of you would do this. And here's all said about him for 10 years. You know what was said about him for 10 years? Go to the end, read the end of 1 Kings, Brother Chad, 19. Here's what was said to him. And he ministered unto him. He didn't get to preach a sermon. Hey, some of these young preachers that we got in this church that we're trained, we let them preach every Wednesday. Elisha didn't get to preach a sermon. Elisha didn't have his name in the sword of the Lord. He didn't make the big bucks. Yet he was faithful. You might say, I can't do much. I tell you what you can do. You can follow God and be faithful and love God. Amen. Let me give you a scripture and see if I can memorize. I got it memorized halfway right. I preached this at Jack Hickman's funeral because I remember. Some boast of their own faithfulness, but a faithful man who can find. I tell you, it's hard to find people that'll be faithful unless it's conditional. Come on now. I want to tell you, when God saved me, I just sold out hook, line, and sinker. I said, God, I'm yours. Whatever you want to do with me. I had no idea that this bartender's son would amount to anything. But I want you to know what I did. I submitted myself to God. I said, you're faithful. I'll be faithful. I'll do what your book says. And I'll lay it all. I'll give you all of it. I'll lay it all on the table. And that's all God wants of all of us. Just lay it all on the table. Am I preaching? No conditions. No ifs. Just say, hey, here am I. Hey, by the way, I want you to hear me. I'm sure Elijah gave him some jobs he didn't want to do. By the way, I wouldn't give you a nickel for a preacher that wouldn't follow God and then follow orders. I've done some things in this church I didn't want to do. But I did them. Remember when we used to have the Rock of Ages conferences? This was way back when we was up that building up there. And the nursery worker, Lois, she came to me one day and said, we ain't got nobody to do nursing. I looked around, wasn't nobody in our church there. All, the only people was there was missionaries. Well, I said, I guess I'll do it. I didn't have a clue what to do. But I did remember that my wife nursed the babies and they felt real comfortable when they got nursed. So I got two of them and I went in there and just laid them right here on my chest. They felt good. They were nubbing on me all the time. And I sang Amazing Grace to them. They went to sleep like a man solid. And she handed two more to me, and I put them to sleep. And she handed a couple more. Listen, I put the whole nursery to sleep. You say, you mean you did the nursery at Taze Valley Baptist? Oh, yes, I've done the nursery at Taze Valley Baptist Church, and I'm glad I've done it. Somebody helped me preach. I tell you what's wrong with us. We're afraid to do something real low. But I tell you what, you'll never amount to anything until you get willing to do that which is low.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Glory to God, I feel preaching to come on me tonight. Number two. And I want you to notice, I think you read it, you saw it. In the next 9 or 10 verses, you'll notice not only he was faithful, he was determined. I want to tell you what real determination is, and real success is, and real character is. It's not all the things you do, Chad. It's what will stop you. Look at me. I'm not going to let anything stop me from serving God and doing what God's called me to do, and you ought not either.
Right.
Don't stop. He was determined. By the way, he went to 4 places, and that's some preaching right there in itself. I'll just give you a little bit of it just to warm up a little bit. He went to Gilgal. You know what Gilgal's representing away? It's a representing of a cutting away of the flesh. And by the way, you'll never do anything for God until you put your flesh aside. And then he went to Bethel, and before it got contaminated with Jeroboam and the calf, it was a place of communication where Jacob had a pillar. And you know about Jericho, he met God, or Bethel, he met God at Bethel.
Yes.
And then he went back to Bethel and had another encounter with God.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, there's sometimes we need to cut away the flesh and get alone with God. Then he went to Jericho, which is a place of conquest. By the way, we'll take you over. I hope to get to Jericho this time. And the walls did come tumbling down. Then Jordan's a place of crucifixion. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live in the life I now live. I live by the hope of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, he didn't quit. See, every time that crowd started trying to stop him, but he didn't quit. He didn't stop.
Amen.
You might ask, have you ever wanted to? Yes. But ladies and gentlemen, when I look at the Savior who went all the way to the cross for me, I can't stop.
Amen.
God gave you something to do. You just do it for the Lord. I don't care how much opposition you get. how much aggravation you get. And there is some. Hello. Then I caught this. Am I doing all right? Look at verse number 5. I want to show you, Chad, this is awesome right here. And I want y'all to really see this. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha, the young preacher, said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. Now I'm going to give you a third one that you need to learn a little bit of. Now you've heard of cold and indifferent. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being indifferent to opposition. Those prophets, they give Elisha the grief for four different places. And by the way, those guys can be called different things, and we all face that challenge. But it really is not Lucy or Della or whoever is causing the problem. The devil some way knows how to use people. And by the way, he uses them when they don't even know it sometimes. Somebody help me preach. That's good preaching. What are you going to do when you get opposition? Stop. Get aggravated and frustrated? Yes, I do. Most of the time, I do some. But I'm pressing up the upper way. New heights I go every day. I want you to know something. I'm not going to tell you. Do you really believe Christianity's easy? It isn't easy because the whole world hates us. But ladies and gentlemen, we just got to be indifferent to it and keep our eyes on the prize. Amen. And I want to say something about you, Lois, tonight. I haven't got to talk about you lately. I appreciate her. You know, she's involved in our passion. She runs the show. And you do. Let's just tell the truth. She expects 110%. But she gives 120. I mean, she does. I look at all the dramas we've had over the years. It's unbelievable to me what's involved in it. And I appreciate you. I'm sure at least once over all these years you've done dramas here that you've had one contrary person at least. She's about to talk in tongues right there. Sure you have. But she's faithful. Amen. She's determined. Amen. And you got to be indifferent to ignorance. Yeah. Good. Well, good preaching, Reverend. I really thought that was awesome. Some of y'all just back there going, bless me if you can. But indifferent to opposition. To criticism. Nobody likes to be criticized. Nobody likes somebody to tell you they can't. Well, you can't. But I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Amen. Fourthly, I'm round the corner. Boy, I've enjoyed this. I really have. Look at verse number 9. And here's a balancing act. And the next 2 points. Look at verse number 9. And it came to pass, when they were going over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, here's what he said, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Now, there's a lot of people have a lot of different ideas of what that is. And I could give you three or four. I'm going to just give you one that I think it is, but I could be wrong, and you know, I'm not sure. But I think I'm pretty sure. Now, here it is. Ask me anything. Now, this was the great man of God he was talking to. And he said, I want a double portion of the Spirit. Now, this is just me. I believe I'm right, but, you know. By the way, that's asking a lot, isn't it? I want to do double what you done. Fourth word. And I think this is missing. Ambition. That's pretty ambitious. Yeah. Would you not agree? To ask the great man of God that you could do double what he done. That's ambitious. Come on now. Now, personally, and this is mythology, so I'm subject to error. But I believe the double meant I want to do double miracles. And if you go check them out, he did that. He did double miracles from what Elijah did. I remember when I came here. The first Sunday I done this, I know I was crazy, 27 years old, 80 people here, not a whole lot of people here. And I said, one day, bless God, we'll have 500 here. Honestly, I did. I said that. Now, I know you might say, well, that's foolish. Well, I said it.
Amen.
As God's my witness, there was a man at the end of service got to hold me right here behind my tie. And said, you'll never see 200. I said, it's really a blessing having you today. I mean, that's gospel. By the way, we had 256 the next Christmas, right after that. And that was in September where he said, and Christmas we had 256.
Amen.
Hey, by the way, there's nothing wrong with you asking God for big thanks.
Amen.
If it's within his will, praise God. And I've always known that getting people saved and to the church and helping people is in his will. Somebody help me. I think I'm preaching well tonight. I'm running well. I tell you what we need some people to do is quit trying to settle for little when God's a big God and say, God, I want your best. When I turn this thing over to Elisha Chad, I'm hoping you do triple what I do. Don't bother me. Don't get hankering for it right now, though. I'm still pumping iron, okay? Hello! I wouldn't give you a cent for a person that didn't have some ambition and want to do something great for God.
Amen.
And change our city for Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And by the way, he said, well, the proof will be in the pudding. Because wherever my mantle lies, if it comes to you, then you'll get it. And guess what? Somebody help me pray. You got some hard things in your life tonight? By the way, the mantle came to him. Now, here's what he could have done. I'm finished. Here's what, couldn't he done this? Wow, look at me. Preacher Elisha, I got Elijah's mantle. Wow, look at me. He could have got proud and puffed up. Couldn't he?
Sure,
I know some preachers are like that. So proud, so puffed up. They're good manipulating people, manipulating people on their social media. They're good about doing that kind of stuff. But I want to tell you what happened. Look at verse 12, and I'm done. Fifth one. You see it? Let me show you what you got to have if you're going to be ambitious. Look at verse 12. you're there, say amen. Amen. And it came to pass, verse 11, as they still went on and talked, that before they appeared a great chariot of fire and the horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Verse 12. Elijah saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof, and he saw him no more. And look. And he took hold of his clothes and rent them into pieces. Number 5, Chad, we as preachers, we as people of God need to shoot for God's best. But once we have done that, then we rent our garments in humility, saying all glory goes to God. I want you to know there's nothing better. Hey, God will bless you, but you better be humble enough to know where the blessings come. I've been here 45 years and God's been good to this guy. But I want you to know it ain't me. I know it's not me. I know it's not. It came from God. And Jeff, it humbles me. And God, amen, would use a piece of dirt,
amen,
like me. And I ought to humble you tonight. That God will use you in any capacity. Right. And you need to give him ultimate glory.
Amen.
Now bow your head. Here's what I want you to do tonight. Is there a hard thing you have in your life? Half of the congregation raised their hand and said there's some hard things in your life and your family's life. I would like for you, there's folks coming up around this altar, I'd like for you to slip out and come on with them. And then right now, how many of you know you're saved? Raise your hand. How many of you are not sure you're saved, but you want to be saved, and you found out there's nothing too hard for God tonight? Would you slip your hand up and say, pray for me, I want to be saved. Stand with me. Stand with me. Hey, listen to me. Are you facing something hard? Maybe a physical hardship. Maybe a financial hardship. Maybe there's some folks just getting on your nerves. Why don't you tonight, how many would just sip out and say, I want a double portion. I want God's best. I want to submit myself to God. I'm willing to be faithful. I'm willing to be determined. I'm willing to be indifferent to opposition. I'm willing tonight. I want God's best. And I got some hard things in my life right now. I want to see God move. Would you sip out? Our Father, help folks to come and join. Help them not be afraid of the altar tonight. Help folks come and just say, I surrender all. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you?